General Assistance Department, number one speaking. Hello, this is number two.
Picking ya.
These are the names of the meeting.
We present the men from the ministry, a weekly tribute to the men of the government service. Silent heroes who toil onwards, ever onwards, unseen, unsung, and as yet, unhung. Our story opens as usual in the General Assistance Department, where Mildred Mervyn and Richard Lamb are helping to create a new image for those who govern the nation.
Mildred, I simply refuse to go to the ministry's fancy dress party as the back legs of a camel.
Well, I thought you'd like that half-best because you could rest your head on Mr. Lebbock's brow.
Mildred!
It's a long night, you see, and it's very tiring being a camel.
Yes, well, if you think that I'm going to spend the whole evening with my face resting on number one... And besides, it's all prickly.
Ooh, what is Mr. Lamb?
Number one's tweed suit. What do you think I mean?
Well, you must ask him not to wear the suit that night.
Now, that'd be even worse, Mildred.
Why don't you stand up at the back? Then you could be the camel's ump.
Good morning, number two. Good morning, Mildred.
Morning, number one. Sir.
Number two, why on earth are you dressed like that? The moonshots leave from Cape Kennedy.
Hmm. Well, Mildred and I were trying to decide what you and I should wear at the ministry fancy dress ball tomorrow. She suggested we go as a camel with me at the back.
How very appropriate.
Thanks very much.
Anyway, if we do go as a camel, you're more than welcome to that end, number two.
I see. Why do you say that?
I always prefer the end that can take a drink, number two. But but really, look, I don't think we should go as a camel. I think we should go as something more dashing and imaginative.
Such as Romeo and Juliet.
Jolly good idea, Mildred. I'll wear a velvet doublet and green tights and a shirt with a ruff at the neck.
The one you're wearing looks just the thing, number two.
Mr. Lamb, you look ever so romantic. I can just see you. But you'd have to be careful you don't trip over your figgy. I mean, you're a bit small for a sword.
Yes, and number one could wear a blonde wig and false eyelashes.
I refuse to go dressed as Juliet. And anyway, whoever heard of a Juliet with a moustache?
Well, I have.
Really? Who?
My Aunt Julie in Birmingham.
Mildred, how long is it before 11 says I'm starving?
It's about 23 hours, Mr. Levitt's
time. 23 hours?
Aye, it's 12 o'clock.
Oh, I see. Well, Lola, you'll have to be quick, otherwise we'll be late for lunch. Oh, and Mildred, Mr. Lamb and I had better go and see that theatrical costume place down the road, you know. So, while we're away, you can take that camel costume back to the Egyptian embassy. What do you think?
This is the General Assistance Department, and this is none other than Mildred Mervyn, what you are listening to.
Well, by popular request, this is Pinky now.
Welcome to the show, Sir Gregory.
What was that, Miss Mervyn?
I said, what would you like to know, Sir Gregory?
Since you mentioned it, I would like to know when Lennox Brown and Lamb make an appearance in this comic opera.
Comic opera? Hey, they've got to get their clothes, Sir Gregory.
Got to get their clothes. Get their clothes. Have they turned the place into a nudist camp now?
No, they've got to get their costumes, Sir Gregory.
Swimming in midwinter?
No. You see, they've got to get their costumes for the ministry fancy dress ball tomorrow night.
Yes, I've almost forgotten about that. Yes. No, Miss Mervyn, do you know where they've gone to get these costumes?
I think they're getting from Macbeth, that theatrical costume place, you know.
Would you mind giving them the ring and ask them to do the same for me? And, of course, a suitable disguise for Lady Pinkin.
Oh,
good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to London's most famous theatrical outfitters. My name is Macbeth, and I'm sure I can fix you up.
I'm sure you can, yes. But actually, we... We've come in for a couple of costumes. My name is Lennox Brown, and this is Mr. Lamb.
Yes. Oh, I see. And what are you playing in? Midsummer Night's Dream at the Old Vic?
No, the Midwinter Darts Match at the Old Cock.
Oh, very droll. Oh, very droll indeed. Now, as a matter of fact, I was once in Midsummer Night's Dream. I took the part of the donkey.
Did you? How long did it run?
Oh, just across the stage.
Well, look, as a matter of fact, Mr. Macduff...
Macbeth, actually.
Oh, sorry, Mac. Well, look, we're looking for a couple... We're looking for a couple of costumes for the Ministry Fancy Dress Ball tomorrow night.
Oh, but of course. I suggest you go as a pair.
What sort of pair?
Right, Charlie's.
Now, very droll. Very droll indeed.
Yes. Oh, no. Now, wait a minute. Now, I suggest you go as Napoleon and Josephine. I've got the costumes right here.
Oh, jolly good.
Which one am I going to be, number one?
Oh, I don't know, number two, but this boat-shaped hat and these top boots fit me perfectly, number two.
I see. What color lipstick should I wear, do you think?
Macbeth Theatrical Outfitters. Oh, no, madam. I think you've had the wrong number. Who? Oh, I'll ask. Are your stage names Charlie Brown and Snoopy? Because you're wanted.
Let me take that. Mildred. Look, will you please refrain from calling Mr. What? Oh, I see, yes, sir. Oh, I see. Sir Gregory wants her to do the same for him and Lady Pitkin. Yes, all right, Mildred. Oh, yes, I'll see you after lunch, Mildred. What? Yes, about 3:30.
Well, what was all that about, number one?
Very odd. Sir Gregory wanted to get the same costumes for him.
I see. He obviously relies on our good taste.
Yes, of course. Look, Mr. Macbeth, will you organize 2 Napoleons and 2 Josephines and deliver 1 set to Sir Gregory Pitkin at this...
Smashing as Napoleon, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Thank you very much, Mildred.
Oh, I wish I were Josephine instead of Mr. Lamb.
So do I, Mildred.
Mr. Lennox Brown. Well, I never did.
Didn't you? I see. Tell me, Mildred, how do I look as Josephine?
Oh, stunning. I'm glad my boyfriend Bernard is near. He'd go for you dressed like that, you know.
I see. Well, in that case, I'm very glad Bernard isn't here. By the way, Mildred, what are you going dressed as?
Well, Bird and me are going together. I'm going as a Red Indian squaw, and Bird is going to be my papoose.
Oh, Mildred. Mildred, a papoose is small and helpless and carried on your back.
Aye, well, that's the way Bird had left the last party we went to.
Well, look, number two, we've had our dress rehearsal. We better be getting off home. Now, look, don't forget the ball starts at 8. Military headquarters, Napoleon retreating.
Well, listen, Napoleon. I want you to get over to Lambeth House.
What, come in now, Sir Gregory?
Yes, now. The NATO military conference is being held now. And I want you to tell the chairman that the French delegation is going to be a bit late. All this to go up here, you know.
Yes, of course. Very good, Sir Gregory. A man who can...
By the way, Napoleon, you know the best way to Lambeth House, don't you?
By taxi?
No, by tube to Waterloo. whatever you do, get over there quickly before the conference starts.
But, Sir Gregory, we hardly dressed for a NATO conference,
not
really.
Not this man. Don't have to get dressed up for a job like this. Get over there right away.
Yes, Sir Gregory, certainly. But by the way, did the fancy dress costumes arrive all right?
Yes, they are. We haven't opened them yet. Now, you get along to that conference now, that it's proud and make it snappy.
Right away, sir. And we'll be over there before you can say, what was that name again, number two?
Jack Robinson.
And a very nice chap he is, too.
Who is Lennox Brown?
Oh, yes, he's all right, too, yes.
What are you blabbering about, Lennox Brown?
Chap called Jack Robinson, works in records department. I...
Lennox Brown, stop fucking about. Just get over to that conference immediately.
Which conference was that?
Ah!
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, Sir Gregory. Oh, and if you do recover, do give my kind regards to Lee. Oh, he seems to have died on me.
What was Sir Gregory going on about then, number one?
Uh, something of a... Oh, hang on. Oh, yes, that's right. They need it at the NATO conference.
What? The Sûreté Charrette?
Mildred.
Number one, we can't go dressed like this. I mean, I look silly.
Don't start complaining after all these years, number two. Anyway, there's no time to change. We've got to get there immediately. Now, come along and watch your bustle on the banister, number two.
As chairman of this NATO peace conference, I would like, first of all, to extend to all delegates a sincere welcome to London. And I have great pleasure in declaring this church bazaar now open. What? Nonsense, man, nonsense. I know what I'm doing.
Be quiet.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. I know that there are many who have contributed to make this gathering the success it is. But... what's going on here? This isn't my speech. Where's my speech? Oh, I see. Why didn't you say so? Oh, yes. Here we are. I would like now to call on our first speaker, Monsieur Alexis Silenkovsky of the French delegation. As you all know, Monsieur Silenkovsky recently took... Don't be absurd, man. Don't be absurd. There he is, right over... Hello, where is the French delegation? This is ridiculous. I'm afraid, gentlemen, that in order to ascertain the whereabouts of Monsieur Silenkovsky, we must call a break of this peace conference. In the meantime, gentlemen, I would be obliged if all delegates would deposit their firearms on the table over by the dartboard. Now what's the matter? Oh, splendid. Gentlemen, the French government have honored this conference by sending one of their top men. He has been sighted making his state arrival accompanied by his good lady.
Look, I don't care if your skirts do keep tripping you up, number two. I refuse to carry you up one more of these confounded steps.
Well, I think that's jolly inconsiderate, number one, especially after what happened at Waterloo.
And what about Waterloo Station?
Well, all that business with the porters offering to carry your baggage. You know I hate riding in those push trolleys.
Anyway, here we are, thank goodness. There, now don't fall over again and put that cigarette out. Josephine might have been hot, but she never smoked.
I say, number one, they seem to be expecting us. Just look at the reception committee.
Hmm? You're right, number two. Oh, it's for us. Look, button up your bodice, number two.
Madame et Monsieur, on behalf of NATO and all the delegates here today, welcome to England. And what was that again? Oh, yes. Vive la France.
I think they're waiting for a reply, number one.
Hmm? So they are. Excuse me. Honi soir qui Melipans and my uncle knew Maurice Chevalier. May I and my numero deux here convey to you the good wishes of our country and thank you for your welcome. It was indeed unexpected.
That you can say again, my love.
Yes. It was heartwarming indeed to hear your expressions of friendship. And so on behalf of my people, I would like to make a small gesture to show you that.
And here is the news read by Mortimer Thripp. 242 cadets became officers at the annual passing out parade at Sandhurst today. Three of them were British. The foreign secretary who took the salute said he hoped that all the successful students, on returning to their home countries, would take advantage of the short correspondence course dealing with bloodless takeovers. He wished them all good fortune in their future careers as presidents. The three British students said they intended to form a pop group known as the Three Pips. There were emotional scenes at Lambeth House today when the French delegate arrived at the NATO conference. He and his attractive second wife, to whom he referred affectionately as Number Two, were wearing national costume. The French delegate spoke passionately of France's desire for a lasting peace and said that, as a hands across the sea gesture of goodwill, France had decided to give the Eiffel Tower to America. It is understood that three jumbo jet flights of American engineers are already on their way to Paris.
Yeah, well, that's never that, Number Two. They move fast, these Americans, don't they?
Hang on, but who gave them the Eiffel Tower, Number Two?
You did, Number One. I told you not to get carried away.
Well, I never did like it anyway. It makes me giddy, all that night business, you know.
Number One, when Sir Gregory hears about this and the fancy...
No, easy,
Number Two. There is no time for boggling. Come on, we'll have to hurry. I'll be late for the fancy dress party, and we'll have to think of some way of getting round Sir Gregory when we get there.
Come along, Penelope. Try to look as though you're used to wearing skirts instead of riding breeches.
I beg your pardon.
I said try to look as if you're
wearing... I beg your pardon.
Dash it, woman, have you gone deaf?
Oh, that's better. There was something stuck in my ear. A piece of the corner of your cocked hat.
A dash silly business anyway. If you ask me, dressing up like this...
Oh, excuse me, sir. Could I have a word with you?
Just have. Do you want some more?
Well, it concerns the Eiffel Tower, sir. Two people, his bona fides, a quite a bit in question, gave it away today.
Well, quite right, too. Absolute monstrosity. Should have been given away years ago.
You know all about it then, sir, do you?
Well, of course I do. As a delegate to the French Convention...
Then you admit to being a French delegate, do you? And this is your Number Two?
Which is my second, yes. But what's all this about, man?
All right, Constable Crackshaw, I've heard enough. Get him in the van, and you better put the cuffs on him.
I can't. I've lost the key.
Oh, you're all right, Charlie. Get him inside.
Come on in the van.
Heads will roll.
No,
heads will roll.
Get him in the van.
Right.
There it is.
What was that, Number One?
It's that Empire Line costume of yours caught in my confounded spurs. Hang on a minute. It's a bit awkward with my umbrella stuck down my top boots here. That's it. Here we go. Now for a quick drink.
What was that, Number Two?
That? Oh, that was your tight trousers on the whale bones of my corset. Ah, well, I suppose Napoleon's hat comes in handy sometimes, I suppose.
Well, shall we go into the bar or into the lounge, Number One?
Oh, the bar, I think. We haven't much time. You see, we can't keep on waiting for the stewards searching for their no change.
Yes, well, here we are then. After you.
No, after you, Josephine.
Good evening, Emperor. What'll it be?
I'd like a pint of bitter, please.
And the lady?
This is no lady, barman.
Oh, you said it, sir. One pint of bitter and a double port and l'amour coming up.
That's amazing, Number One. How on earth did he know what I wanted?
Experience, I should think.
There we are, Nappy. That'll be 7 and 2.
Certainly, sir. 7 and... You got any change, Number Two?
Yes, I think so. It's a bit difficult, though. I'm not used to these things. Yeah, we are. 7 and 2.
Blimey, now I've seen everything.
Well, cheers, Number One.
Cheers, Number Two.
But
Is this man with a funny hat annoying you, mate?
No more than usual. Why? Is he worrying you?
No, but his hat is, mate.
Really? Why is that?
Because I can't see the telly properly through it, mate.
Number one, this gentleman says he can't see the telly with your funny hat.
Oh, really? Well, try looking through a funny pair of spectacles instead.
Straight from the Folly's Verger, I'll bet.
What strange people there are around here, number
two. Yes, I know. But jokes aside, number one, you really do look very authentic as Napoleon.
Oh, really? Well, I always thought that.
Yes, the cocked hat, the high back collar on your overcoat, the top boots, and the briefcase.
Actually, you don't look so bad yourself, number two, except for that slide rule and the 14 ballpoint pen stuck down the front of your dress.
You know, I like the professional touch about your portrayal of Napoleon, your arm casually tucked inside that dirty great overcoat. By the way, why did Napoleon always have his hand inside his coat?
Well, I'm not sure about his reason, number two, but I'm holding up my trousers. My braces have snapped. Ah, well, the party seems to be in full swing. I wonder where Mildred is. Can you see her, number two? What's that? Speak up a bit, would you?
Ryan,
Number two, your wig is on the wrong way round. Those ringlets are supposed to hang down your back.
Yes, well, I see now. I wondered why the doorman said going so soon when I came in.
Look, you must keep in character, number two, and don't scratch your back with your umbrella. Get rid of it somewhere.
All right, I'll hang it on that hat stand in the corner. Number one, I'm seeing things. That hat stand just moved.
Really, number two? Oh, that's old Rudge from the Board of Trade, dressed as a telegraph pole. Oh, no wonder he's moving. He's being chased by someone dressed as a St. Bernard.
There's Mildred going in next to the fourth gypsy.
Oh, yes, I can see her with those eight pirates. I wonder if she's found Lady Pitkin yet.
Here, Bernard, hang on for a second, will you? I've just got to remove Lady P so Miss B can get hold of Sir Jean.
Hey?
Oh, there she is. Wait for me at the bar. I won't be long.
Oh, all right.
Oh, I say, Lady P, isn't this a splashing party? Oh, I'm so pleased to see you. And you don't have to smash in as Napoleon's, as he's, Josephine. I'm looking for the ladies' retiring room. Oh, there it is, over there by that bunch of bullfighters.
What on earth are you talking about, Mildred?
Oh, Mr. Lab, I thought it was Lady Pitkin. Oh, you gave me such a fright. Oh, well, I'll have to go now. Where is Lady P anyway?
Well, I don't know, but keep your eyes open for a Napoleon with a walrus moustache.
But I thought she was coming as Josephine.
Number two, get off your bustle. We're leaving.
Why? Where are we going now?
To Bow Street. I've just had a message. Sir Gregory and Lady Pitkin are there.
They had a puncture?
No puncture, nothing. They're inside. Come on, number two, and you too, Mildred, to the Bow Street Bastille.
Oh, now what's the matter, Constable Crackshaw? Have you lost the keys to the handcuffs again?
No, Sergeant. It's Napoleon in cell number 5. He wants a glass of brandy.
Ah, well, tell him the brandy's off. But we've got a nice drop of water, 1969 vintage. Tell him it were a very good year.
I'll tell him. What about Josephine in number 6? She wants a glass of champagne.
Oh, we just tell her it's not cold enough. It'll be all right in a couple of years.
I'll tell her. Political prisoners. Give me a gang of university students any time.
Oh, blimey, there's another lot. And this time, the Red Indian reinforcement. Constable Crackshaw?
Yes, Sergeant?
Is the French suite full up?
I'll have a look, Sergeant.
And check on the wigwam situation while you're there.
Righty-o, Sergeant.
Sergeant, I understand that by a slight misunderstanding, you have in custody a certain...
Well, hang on. Let me get a statement form. Here we are. Now, your name? All right, I know. Napoleon the Second.
Napoleon the... No, Lennox Brown.
Oh, blimey.
Yes, my name is Richard Lamb.
Ah, well, I've heard of mutton dressed up as lamb, but not the other way round. Now then, what's your name? Minnie R.
No, Minnie Murfin. I mean, Melvin Murfin.
Well, just come here and let's have a closer look at you.
Ooh, watch it, you're crushing me figgies.
Crushing your what?
Me feathers. Mabel was very cross when I pinched these two feathers from our old hen.
Yeah, not half as cross as your old hen, I'll bet.
Sergeant, Sergeant.
Oh, what's the matter now, Constable? You've broken your whistle again.
No, Sergeant. Napoleon the First in cell number 5 says he can recognize the voices in here and he's getting a bit agitated. He says these are the ones whose heads are going to roll.
Number two, I've just remembered an important appointment. Look,
Number one, Napoleon, don't leave me. Come back, help!
Not tonight, Josephine, not tonight. I'm abdicating. You can get me a P.O. Box Elba.
Having a ball as the men for the ministry were John Simpson and Roger Service. Behind masks were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Beyond, and Pat Simpson.
The Men from the Ministry was written by John Simpson and Brian Squires and produced by Tom Meehan in the Durban studios of Springbok Radio Productions.